I'm Pierre Lumumba here at Kibenda Tea Estate in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya. Today we look at an interesting subject, interesting in the sense that is happening at a time when Africa, in the minds of many, is at crossroads. Crossroads to mean that Africa must reorganize herself in order to earn economic dividends that she deserves and technological dividends that she needs. What is the place of Russia in the continent of Africa? And it's always important to situate Russia in the context of history, in the context of the Soviet Union, which it belonged to as the Russian Federation, because that is how Russia was introduced to the continent of Africa. While in the 1900s and the early 1900s, the European powers, through different companies, the British through bodies such as the British Imperial Company, the French, the Portuguese, the Italians, and the Germans, and the Dutch, and of course others, were in the continent of Africa initially for purposes of slavery and after slavery colonization, and therefore had their own spheres of influence after the Berlin Conference in 1884 and 1885. Russia was not present in that space. Russia was not present in that space because she was not a colonizer. She did not have the appetite for colonization that the Western countries had in the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th century, and way up to the 20th century. And we must also remember, therefore, that she did not participate in the neo-colonial project. And it is instructive that after the World War II, when the world was divided between the East and the West, in the words of Winston Churchill, the Iron Curtain had divided the world. That is when one begins to see the interaction between Russia and the continent of Africa, particularly during the periods of decolonization. And one cannot put a line and say this is when it started, but prominently in 1945, when there is the Great Manchester Conference, the Pan-African Conference, that is when we begin to see Pan-African leaders such as Nkrumah and others beginning to talk about having alternative engagements with the continent of Africa and other spaces, because the West, as it is being removed, but they don't want to leave. And Russia then begins to have relationship with a number of African independent fighting movements. African National Congress, founded in 1912, and is led by people like Pixley Kaisa Kaseme, people like Albert Luthuli, and later Sisulu, and Mandela, and Govan Mbeki. You begin to see the Russian presence in terms of influence at that time. You begin to see once again the presence of Russia with SWAPO in Namibia, and of course FRELIMO and MPLA in Angola. And this kind of collaboration then survives even after the colonial project has been decimated. And in the 1960s, there is a very interesting thing that is happening at that time, because Russia is then a part of the Soviet Union. And during the Kennedy administration enters into an arrangement where they are taking young men and women to the United States of America to study. At the same time, what is happening is that the Soviet Union, Russia under the Soviet Union, is also leading another movement of young people to the Eastern Bloc. And the persons who are in the forefront of doing this at that time is Gamal Abdel Nasser of Egypt, Kambarage Nyerere of Tanzania, to a limited extent Kwame Nkrumah, and in fact an office is established in Cairo. For those who are coming from East Africa, some of whom will give the testimony that they walked from Tanzania and from Kenya and from Uganda up to Cairo, because that is where they would get the passports, and then they were flown to different parts of the Eastern Bloc. There are those who went to Hungary, there are those who went to East Germany, there are those who went to Russia itself, and they form, in a manner of speaking, an army of young men and women, some of whom gained military training. And not only military training, some of them also gained ideological training, because at that time there is the divide between communism or socialism at that time and, of course, capitalism at that time. And for some reason, Africans were attracted to socialism because it resonated a lot more with African way of life. You only have to read, for example, the works of Mwalimu Nyerere when he writes about Ujamaa in 1967. You can see there is a lot of inclination to the Marxist-Leninist idea of how to govern. When you read the works of individuals such as Apollo Milton Obote with the Common Man's Charter, when you see the ideology of Patrice Emery Lumumba or Kwame Nkrumah or Angola, Agostinho Neto, or Eduardo Mondlane and Samora Moises Machel. So you see a Soviet Union that is in that space and Russia that is prominent in that space, which is what then brings us into this argument now. What is the position of Russia as we speak? As we speak now, interesting things are happening. Once again, the Western powers are very keen on Africa because of our resources. And you can see a revolt. And one of the most recent revolts is in the Sahel, where you see in Burkina Faso, in Niger, and in Mali, and in Chad, and in Guinea, and in Central African Republic. And you see Russia now is beginning to come into that space, and they are offering very interesting things. They are congregating African leaders in Sochi, and they are saying, we are giving you fertilizers for free. So they are addressing agriculture. They are saying, you are facing the insurgencies of the Tuaregs in Mali. We are giving you training and arms. We are giving you opportunity to train your young men and women in the area of technology, in engineering, and in those areas. And what one begins to see is an emerging intimate relationship that is defined by an agenda. And once again, I keep on warning my African friends that Russia has defined what they want. Africans must define what they want. That is what will ensure that the relationship is symbiotic. It is not lost on me, for example, that in the energy space, Russia was very present. It was present as early as the 1950s and 1960s. And in Egypt, the Grand Aswan High Dam was actually built by the Soviet Union and the Russians at that time. And it is not lost on me right now that there are negotiations that are going on between Russia and Burkina Faso, between Russia and Niger, to help them develop nuclear energy for peaceful use. That, I think, is important as we go forth in terms of industrialization. And one of the things that is emerging in that regard is that they are prepared to transfer technology. I've already talked about agriculture and the use of and the donation of fertilizer. And the Russian companies are saying that we are prepared to get into that space in fossil fuels and help you reap the dividends so that you can have your own fertilizer. I've already talked about artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence, particularly in these days of nanotechnology and the Internet of Things and big data, the Russians are saying, we are prepared to share with you what we know in terms of artificial intelligence, and you need it for purposes of industrialization. All these factors put together is putting in an African space a Russia that is moving towards becoming a world power, but of a different kind. They are not telling Africans, you must do it this way. They are not telling African countries, this is how you must govern yourself. But they are telling African countries, we are prepared to sit with you at the table of negotiation. We are prepared to offer our technology. We are prepared to work with you. We are prepared to be partners in development. And that, in the English language, is what is sometimes characterized as soft power. So that going forward, and there is an area that I think deserves to be talked about, is the area of climate change. Climate change space is a space which recognizes that if we don't deal with the climate in the manner that we ought to, then we are going to suffer in major ways. We are going to suffer in agriculture. We are going to suffer because of lack of provision of water. We are going to suffer in a manner that is going to create hunger in the continent of Africa. And I hear the Russians saying, we are prepared to collaborate with you. You in Egypt, you in Niger, you in Burkina Faso, you in Mali, you in South Africa, if you so desire, to help you to get into the space where we can put up your satellite for you up there so that you can deal with the question of weather, you can deal with the question of mobile telephony, so that you eliminate the hegemony of your former colonizers who, as history has demonstrated, are in the business of reaping where they did not sow. And it is instructive when I talk about the Russian model, because the first vice president of Zambia, Simon Mwansa Kapwepwe, once said that those who have left as colonizers will once again come back as investors. And we are seeing that in all sectors, whether it's in agriculture, whether it's in the mining sector, whether it's in the climate change sector, you can see that the negotiation from the West is that they still want to control, and they want to control in a manner that is to the detriment of the continent of Africa. So the soft power that we are seeing from Russia through these new vistas, which are critical in the pathway of Africa's quest for development, is critical. And one hopes that we define in Africa what we want, so that that relationship is a relationship that is going to be mutually beneficial. And as I've said, not once, not twice, but times without number, the reason why Russia becomes attractive is because she was not a colonizer. The reason why she's attractive is because she's coming on the table, not in a condescending way. The reason why Russia is attractive is because she's saying, we are prepared to transfer technology. The reason why she's attractive is because she's saying, we are prepared to train your young men and women to the extent that we can. The reason why they are attractive, because they are saying, we are going to do it differently. We are going to do it in a manner that is respectful of the continent of Africa. The burden is now on Africans. If you don't define what you want, even the best intentioned of countries will take advantage of you. So Africans, let us organize. We have Africa Agenda 2063. We have Africa Continental Free Trade Area. How are we going to leverage all those so that when we are engaging Russia and other friends of goodwill, we do it in a manner that is going to be beneficial to both sides of the equation? It can be done, it must be done, and this is the opportunity. And if Russians have demonstrated, as they have, that they are friends of goodwill, they will find welcoming hands in the continent of Africa. Thank you very much. We continue with our discussion about diverse issues on the continent of Africa. And we say bye-byes in the knowledge that we'll come back again to continue those critical and useful conversations about the continent of Africa. Thank you very much.